back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are going to be back out on the crab cakes. I'm double crab caking after most of October. There were no crab cakes here in November. I'm saying yes to the crab cakes. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be playing this week. Fadley's on Wednesday, but then this guy's going to join me on Friday. And, you know, it sort of dates this piece a little bit. Leonard Raskin is our friend, of course, from Raskin Global, giving us some financial advice as well as a little bit of a Ravens analysis in the aftermath. But this Thursday night thing's going to lend to a interesting Friday. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill. Lots of friends are joining us. My friend Jim Rees is going to stop by. I know we got Tommy Chigoris is going to be with us. I got other pending guests as well up in Timonium, as Coach Ekman would say. But, you know, this Ravens season is, even when things are going wrong, dude, they work themselves out. You know, they just do, right?
I'll tell you, last week, quite the wild little game. I think it was, what's the word? Sustainable. Was that the word? Sustainable.
Oh, you heard the press conference. Did you hear the press conference?
Sustainable that Lamar could run, I don't know, 22 times and get hit during the game.
Is that a fair question? You know, you're a guy at home.
Fair question.
You pay me for a living to ask tough questions. You respect me enough to put your name next to mine, and I'm in there. And it was not a disrespectful question. It was a legitimate. I watched him get slobber knocked 21 times, and he's not running out of bounds, and he's not doing all the stuff you told him to do. And we're winning, and that's good. It's like you when you're like, hey, I'll take a flyer on a stock. And then, hey, look, Raskin, I'm better than you. I picked the winner. Okay.
That's right. Short-term gain, maybe not long-term viability. So I think the coach put it right out there, right? He said, look, Ness, it's we got to win this game, and we got to win this year. We got to win this Super Bowl. We can't be thinking about the next 5 years. Let's face it. They gave Pat Mahomes $500 million. And he's not looking like the great quarterback this year. So I think what John's telling you is we're going to get what we can out of Lamar while he's being paid $1 million a year. And we'll worry about sustainability when we pay him $500 million.
If anybody sees Harbaugh, let him know, because I haven't seen him and I haven't texted with him, you know, really since the summer. And I've only been in a room with him, I don't know, two times, three, whatever it was, right? I've been on the road in Vegas and he bailed on the press conference and I got stuck in the elevator. So he didn't even know I was in Vegas, but I was in Vegas.
Right.
There was the game after San Diego. I was there, for, you know, well, Chargers, whatever they are. So either way, if I'm the guy that is going to be that guy that gets to ask the tough question, I'll be that guy. I'm happy to be that guy.
Sure.
I've always been that guy. Billick really liked me because I was that guy. Billick could count on me asking him a question.
That would make him.
I remember one night we got our ass kicked, Kansas City, Stony Case. Do you remember this game? Thursday night. It was a Thursday nighter or Monday nighter. It was a short weeker. We got beat. And I asked him, like, and maybe it rained or something. And I was up in his face and I'm like, Coach, tell me. And he looked at me. He's like, I'm going to answer that because you ask it.
Right. There you go. Hey, look, they get a lot of softballs. They do get a lot of softballs. So there's no doubt that hitting them with a tough question, you know, linebackers coming across the middle, you're going to get popped.
In victory, it's very, very easy just to put the purple plumes of smoke up and everybody's leaving singing Seven Nations Army. And all I'm thinking about is your quarterback just took on contact 30 times in a game and has to go play in 96 hours. That's not ideal. It's not ideal.
And, you know, I find it, look, it's always amazing when he squeaks through the middle there and does a little spin or something and gets 15, 20, 40 yards. But lately, he's been going up the middle and getting hit a lot. Now, I got to give him credit. When he runs to the outside, he doesn't usually get hit a lot. He takes a hit here or there, but he's pretty nimble at avoiding it. He kind of reminds me, although he doesn't lower his head and initiate the hit. But back in the day, Walter Payton, it seemed like the guy never got hit, you know, flat on. He never got crushed. He was always instituting the hit, instigating the hit, getting out of bounds. He found a way to not have his body be destroyed in there. And Lamar seems that way, but boy, lately in the pocket or growing across the middle, I mean, he's been hit a bunch. And I think, you know, he's not the biggest guy, so it certainly makes sense to ask the question, but he seems to be darn resilient. He's getting up, walking away and making the next play. So what can you say?
You know, Leonard,
good news is it's a win. And I heard a little post game. I don't know if it was post game or next day where I heard it, but I heard Justin Tucker mentioning that after trying to chase down the 100-yard kick return, his legs were feeling a little sore, and he was kind of concerned that he could kick that winning field goal.
Well, it's a different activity, you know, sprinting, yeah, right? He said, trying to tackle somebody in the wild.
I'm not about running. I'm about kicking. I don't chase people down. I don't run in practice. I kick.
Well, that's not what you're thinking about doing when you're kicking off, is thinking I'm going to be chasing a guy in 4.5 seconds that is five times faster than me. You know, Leonard, you said
kick it
something.
Through the end zone. Kick it through the end zone. You don't have to worry about it. See, I want to make a rule change.
Go ahead.
Since they moved the kickoff up, right, here's what I want the rule change. If your kicker can kick off through the uprights, you get a point.
Like a rouge.
Yeah, like a point. 1 point. Kick that kickoff through the end zone, through the crossbar, you know, through the goal.
You want to make it really good, make it worth a half a point.
Whatever. There you go.
That'll push. You want people to gamble on it? All right. You know, you're partnering. I see Caesar's names over every section in the stadium now that I'm there. Leonard Raskin is here, Raskin That's Global. Right. You can find him out there. So you said something interesting to me. And I had a little point with Luke with this week. And I like that we'll get the money in the real world. We've had enough of that. It's a good football week. Sure. You and I are going to get together on Friday and solve problems at a Knicks Grandstand Grill, get a crab cake as well. You said Lamar's not that big a guy, right? And I would just say this. I had some guys from Minnesota last week on the show. And one of them, or one of the national writers, I don't even know who it was, I don't know who to blame it on, said, Lamar's kind of a bigger guy. And I'm like, no. I've stood next to bigger guys. Joe Flacco was a bigger guy. Ben Roethlisberger's a bigger guy. I've stood next to Cam Newton, who tried that style of I'm a linebacker and a quarterback. You know what I mean? Lamar's not big, you know, in that way. And even if he were big, I mean, Steve McNair took on tons of abuse and ran a lot. Cordell Stewart, who was smaller than Cam Newton and some of these guys. Michael Vick was smaller. And ideally, you don't want him to get hit ever. Right, he's your quarterback. Right. And by the way, from an investment standpoint, and I know how smart you are about money. If Lamar calls you right now, are you signing a deal?
Oh, boy. I mean, if I'm him or if I'm the Ravens.
If you're his agent right now, you're letting him run around 21 times with no contract.
Oh, boy, he should have already signed the deal.
Fair enough, right?
Say, let's
this is risk management, Leonard Raskin.
Let's get that contract signed. I don't need to wait till the end of the year for this. I can do it before you blow out a leg. I mean, he's playing on his rookie contract. What's he making, $1.5 million this year? Holy cow. He's going up against – you look around the league, you look at what some of these guys are getting, and think about – I mean, they're not as good. They're not anywhere near as good. There's a lot of guys making 20, 30 now, 40, whatever a year. Wow, some of these quarterbacks, in my opinion, are ridiculously overpaid. It's a bad investment. But I guess if they're filling the seats, somebody thought it was a good deal. But, man, and Lamar doesn't have an agent, right? It's he and his mother.
Correct.
I don't think he has an agent.
I would think he has a guy like you, you know, someone in his life that he considers a financial advisor.
I would hope, but I don't know. He doesn't have an agent for the team for his contract.
Well, Leonard, this is a great –
handle his money.
You and I go down a lot of lanes. This is what you do professionally, right? And I don't know if you manage – I've had a lot of friends in your industry that manage money for athletes, entertainers, tons of people, right? I mean, I have partners that have money and are in that space and whatnot, right? Yep. So – Lamar, if Lamar's mom sits next to you and your family somewhere and you become friends and you give your resume and say, this is who I've helped. These are people. What'd you do anyway? I mean, if I was going to, if I have John Martin from the lottery on all the time to let myself play, if I get $100 million, I'm calling you and I'm saying, what should I do? And you're going to develop a strategy for me. The Lamar thing is fascinating we can get into the vaccination part too. But what not to do. And what not to do in life is to extend the risk beyond the reward, right? We're at a point now where if he wins the Super Bowl, great kid, you'll make $48 million instead of $44 million or whatever that number is going to be, whatever that value that's out there.
Yeah.
And we can put $120 million in your pocket right now the way the Mahomes kid did. And then you can go out there and we don't think you're going to want to be 5-4 like Mahomes is now. But – it protects you. I don't. Do you think they have a $50 million policy on him? Or I'm just wondering, because he's running around out there, and I'm more concerned about him than his coaches.
Yeah, the question is, who's taking out the policy? Is it the Ravens taking out the policy, or is it he and his mother, is his agent taking out the policy? That's a thing you go to Lloyd's of London for. You get a specialized disability policy. You insure those legs, you insure those arms, you make sure that if his career ended, that there's a future value insurance policy on his potential worth. And
By the way, I'm going to give you a chapter in the Peter Principles. I've done a lot of writing, not lately. I wrote a whole chapter called Not the Bell, B-E-L-L-E, of Baltimore. Right. The Albert right. Bell case is the reason a guy named Bob Ames kept his job with yours for years, because he signed the policy that got Peter the Willy Wonka golden ticket to not have to pay Albert Bell.
That's right. That's right. It's a must. If you've got that type of athlete, as the team, you ensure that, so that if there's a financial loss there, that contract is covered. If you're the athlete, you get that kind of policy. You get a contract, Lloyd's of London generally, or a couple others, not many. And you get that contract so that if something happens, and let's face it, until very recently, football in particular, they weren't guaranteed contracts, and they certainly weren't these enormous guaranteed contracts like you see in baseball. Man, they've changed the mold. Now these guys are starting to get guaranteed money. Now they're not getting it all, but they're getting way larger percentages than they ever used to. There are guys, clearly, they've been in this league for a year or two. They signed that second contract. Their knee blows out. They're done. But now these guys are getting big upfront guaranteed money. And as a team, you ensure that. And as an athlete, before you get it, you ensure that. You make darn sure. Because risk is, you know, people think it means the more risk I take, the more chance I have to win or to make money if it's an investment. That's not the truth. Risk is the percentage chance of loss. So 100% risk.
Downside management.
It's an all loss bet. So what risk is really about in my world is risk mitigation. That's exactly right. You've had health issues with your wife. You've had health issues now with your back. My wife's gone through a little bit of health stuff, but I can tell you this, when those multi-$100,000, million-dollar hospital bills come rolling in, you better have health insurance. And that's a risk mitigation strategy. You pay a premium to offset the risk that you can't afford. Now, some people insure their cell phone. You know, they're worried if they drop their cell phone, it cracks, they're going to insure that. That's a little overkill on the insurance marketplace. But life insurance, health insurance, and in this case, the insurability of a future stream of income, no business owner would have a plant, equipment, spits out widgets on a daily basis that would say, if something happens and that widget machine stops working, oh, I'll be fine, no worries. No, they insure the widget machine so that they can continue the cash flow that the widget machine would have produced. And that's the deal. You have to look at disability insurance from an individual side and key person insurance from a business owner side.
But Lamar has a golden ticket he's running around with that is
absolutely
insured or uninsured, still not worth the value of whatever the upside. And that was part of when, and I wrote about this in Purple Rain too. So I'll refer you to probably chapter, I don't know, 12 or 13, 14, whatever Flacco and Bisciotti, there had been an off-season sit down, and Bisciotti offered Flacco all of this money, and Flacco did a little bit of his own deal, and he had his agent Joe, you know, who I've had on the show many times. And Bisciotti's like, Joe, you're going to make $120 million, and if you win the Super Bowl, maybe you make 150, but 120 is like 120, and it's here and it's sitting here. You might get your leg broken, right? I mean, like, it was one of those things where you'd be like, are you going to give me the $120 million lottery ticket and I'm going to hold that for the $140 million? Now, if you're giving me the $120 million and I'm holding that for the $800 million, maybe, but I don't know how that changes my life, because $120 million will buy everything I ever need and everything my heirs ever need. And I know a guy named Leonard Raskin who will probably take good care of it. And there is a point where, like, I have enough boats. I have enough stuff.
Yeah,
and
exactly
some
right.
people reach that. And then there's greed. And then there's, I need to be the best, the highest paid because I'm the best. And, you know, they're screwing me. They're screwing me and all that. I don't know what Lamar's – makeup is on this, but there is a point given him and Joe that he's a lot more likely to get broken in half than Joe was. And eventually Joe got broken in half, right?
Yep. And look, Joe's a Jet. Joe was a Jet. Joe was an Eagle. Joe is a Jet. And Joe was a Jet, I think, in street clothes recently. So, hey, look, if you can still get paid, why not? You know, one of my best Ravens well-being, I guess, stories in this regard was our buddy Kyle Bowler. Let's face it, when he got drafted, he had the golden ticket, and he got big money. And then he went out west, and I don't think he ever played another snap, but he got paid a lot of money to hold a clipboard for a number of years. Good for him.
Andrew Brandt, by the way, calls them he calls them the real champions of the NFL, the winners, the real winners. Right. And I'll give you the list. You ready? You can look all these guys up.
When you're done, you got your knees and you got big money.
Sam Bradford, Case Keenum. Josh McCown, the backup there, Ryan Fitzpatrick, because a lot of these guys played well enough to step into a situation where they got real money. You know, Kevin Kolb, Nick Foles. There's just a lot. I mean, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, so I'm not. Guys that are more accomplished than others. But you go back to the era of the Rob Johnsons. I remember, you know, these guys that got deals based on a game or two or three or a hope or a dream, and all the first round money was super duper guaranteed. That was the Bradford era. You're talking about the Bowler era. And they've mitigated that a little bit, the owners, right?
Yeah, right. Well, look, that's what we said. Lamar's making a million or something a year, but I have no idea what his makeup is. I have no idea where his head is. Does he need to be the highest paid? He doesn't seem like that guy. Everything I've heard, seen, watched, listened to, the guy's humble as the day is long. He wants a win. He wants to see his team win. He gives a lot of credit to his teammates, to his coaches. He's not about the personal records. He's not about the accolades. So it seems to me like he doesn't need to be the $501 million I got more than Mahomes guy. But certainly he deserves to get more than, let's see. Who recently got big quarterback money in the middle?
Look, there's all sorts of ways to put him at the top of the class and make him feel love and give him a whole big check and give him promises down like all of that. I don't know where the synapse is and all of that.
Bobby Bonilla deal, right?
Right. You know, or the Chris Davis
forever.
Deal.
He's getting some. He's going forward getting some. That's right. But Bobby Bo, every year he gets his check.
The best deal ever. You've read the ABA guys, right? That got the NBA pieces. That's the greatest story ever. You know that, right?
No, tell me.
No. The ABA owners, there were like three of them, okay?
Yep.
And they could either take a franchise or take a piece. It was the St. Louis, the guy that Bob Costas worked for, the St. Louis Spirit, the Kentucky Colonels, I believe. If you Google this, and Terry Pluto wrote Terry Pluto's book. You just want to read a great book, Loose Balls, Terry Pluto, one of the great, and I have him on all the time and I kiss his ass and tell him how great his book was, but his book's great. And they all own a share of an NBA franchise that isn't real.
Got it.
So it's just a revenue stream
revenue share.
It was a 1976 piece of the action for folding their ABA and not giving up territory or whatever the hell it was. Yeah. And it amounted to like a share, and it's turned into, you know, a couple of $1 billion, literally, for failed ABA franchises.
Right. The opposite of the USFL Donald Trump plan, which won in court and was awarded $1.
I remember,
went all the way and won $1.
I remember I was in Jamaica when that happened, and I got the USA Today 3 days late because the news didn't travel back then. They didn't have radios or whatever. And I remember seeing the sports page with the red, you know, USA Today. I looked down and I'm like, I can't be right. Like, I write headlines for a living. It's missing an M or a B or a something. It's $1, you know?
It was the Trading Places bet. $1.
Okay, so Ozzy and Daniel Silna, S-I-L-N-A. The Silna brothers were left out of the NBA, but nonetheless, they turned it into one of the greatest deals in the history of sports. Of the seven teams to finish the final ABA season, the NBA would only accept four in the merger. The Virginia Squires folded shortly after the season. The Colonels negotiated, this is a lot of money, 1976, seven, whatever this is, $3.3 million they got. It's a lot of money.
Yep.
For the remaining ABA teams. However, the Spirits held out for more. Here we go. June of 1976, the owners of the four merging teams, Denver, Indiana, the New Jersey, then New York Nets, and San Antonio Spurs, agreed to pay the St. Louis owners $2.2 million cash up front and an additional 1/7 share of the four remaining teams' television broadcast revenue. Ready? Ready? Here's the quote. You ready? For as long as the NBA or... Hold on. As long as the NBA franchise or roughly 2% of the entire league's TV money.
Wow.
So
that's beautiful.
In 1981, they got 521,000. And then every year from 99 through 02, they got 13 million. And then from 03 to 06, they got 15.6 million a year. Then it was 17 million a year. They've received roughly $300 million in revenue before 2014, and the Spirits never played a game.
That's magnificent.
You like that? So I'm reading from the internet, from the interwebs. Did I regale you with that one? That's a good Uncle Nestor story, right?
That is fantastic, brilliant, and that's what it's all about. If you can find a way to get that annuity check coming every year, paychecks and playchecks, baby. You just want that money coming in all the time. It's beautiful. That's a magnificent financial negotiation. Somebody was really thinking hard. And 2% of the NBA TV revenue, my goodness, when they renew those contracts, it's got to be like, well, here we go. Thursday night, Ravens, Dolphins, right? It's got to be like the 72 Dolphins. Every time somebody is no longer undefeated in the league, they rub their hands and have a bottle of champagne together.
By the way,
these guys every year just have to sing when that contract gets renewed.
Are you ready for this? You're going to love this. I'm keeping reading, and this is just Wikipedia. It seems to be legitimate here. Ready?
Sure.
2014, they sold for a reported $500 million up front cash.
The rights.
The future money that they were getting $25 million a year for. They sold it for $500 million. And here's the deal. The Silnas then lost the money that they invested with Bernie Madoff.
Oh my God. That's like referee karma. That's when you don't call the hit on Justin Fields and the Bears.
No, you know what? It says Madoff only stole $24 million of it.
Oh, how dreadful. Oh man. You just never know what's gonna come up, huh?
Dude, tell him what you do, and I'm gonna see you. Well, this is where you come in. I mentioned Madoff and Ponzi's, and you're like, exactly what we don't do at Raskin Global.
Exactly what we don't do.
Give them the elevator speech here for 60 seconds on that. And then, by the way, I'm going to see you in Timonium. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Nick's Grandstand Grill on Friday, 2 to 6. Come on out, say hello, have a crab cake, let yourself play a little bit. Leonard and a bunch of my friends are coming out each and every week. By the way, we're with Mayor Brandon Scott on Wednesday at Coco's in Lauraville. We are at Conrad's in Abingdon on Black Friday up in Harford County, going to be at Pappas soon. Pappas hit me back. I'm getting the date for it. I got to tell you that. And then my 30th anniversary. We're kicking it off at the Beaumont in Catonsville on the 9th of December. The anniversary is the 13th, but we're doing the whole month. So the whole month of December is the 30th. We're going to do the whole year. With 30 years, why not? So you've been how many years for you at Raskin Global?
Raskin Global, this is our 35th year.
Five ahead of me. All right. Good.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's because I'm 57.
So when Lamar's mother calls you, what do you tell her that you do?
Tell her we make sure that her life, her son's life, and for generations to come will be protected and never have to be concerned about their money forever. That will make sure that they have everything protected, that they can't lose their wealth no matter what. If interest rates go up, if markets go down, if taxes go up, if he becomes sick, disabled, dies too soon, lives too long with us, you can't run out of money and you can't lose your money. Not that everything that we do, there's certainly not guarantees on everything, but we make sure that we position you in a way that your dollars don't disappear from outside bad forces. You know, Madoff, one of the things he was famous for after the fact, enough people didn't check it ahead of the time, was he was the money manager. He was the custodian. He did the reporting. He was the auditor. He had things lined up, and there were no checks and balances on anything he did. We don't have any Raskin Global product. We look out into the financial marketplace for the best insurance, appropriate investments. We make sure that you own things titled properly, that you keep the government out of your pocket. If you want to give all your money to the government, that's great. You'd be our first client that ever said that. So our goal is to help you mitigate income tax, estate tax, surtax, excise tax, inheritance tax, you name it, tax. The job is to avoid it. And we help you grow your wealth so you can enjoy it, do the things you want, fulfill on your American dream. And that, again, for generations to come, there's no concerns that what you did falls apart. The only way it falls apart is if the future generations are stupid. And that certainly happens. You know, one of the things is a lot of people, you look at a couple, three generations down the road, and they're back to making the donuts. Not there's anything wrong with making donuts, but they're back to working hard for a living again because people didn't understand what to do with the money, didn't know how to handle it. We help advise multi-generational families. We work with third and fourth generations of families so that the patriarch and matriarch can pass down their finances, their financial wisdom, their family values. And we help those carry on for, again, multiple generations so people know what's going on.
Well, dude, I send everybody out to Leonard. See him at the Raskin Globe. He'll be with us having a crab cake. It's good to have you back sort of on the beat. It's good to be back on the beat myself and double crab cake in here through the holidays. And people are reaching out to me. And I promise on your behalf, the Pappas folks, I'm going to try to do it. They're offering me Cockeysville or Parkville. You come to Parkville if you have to, right?
We have to, but Cockeysville's the
That's your home.
Go.
That's your home base.
It's
home base. All right. Well, for the holidays, we will do Cockeysville, and I'm putting that together. That'll be some Friday in December. Follow the schedule. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let Yourself Play. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Doing it this week at Fadley's on Wednesday, and then at Nick's on Friday. And, of course, football on my phone Thursday night. No Manning cast on this one. The Dolphins and the Ravens. I'm watching this one at home, but I'll be in Chicago next week having some pizza. Looking forward to getting back out on the road with the Bears. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.